This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday. We're going to talk, well, just a moment about AI and robots. And I'm pretty grateful for something Trump said and did there. We'll talk about some Jack Smith things. Before I lose my mind about Fauci and Francis Collins, we'll get to some emails. All that and more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I've said before, I'm going to slap a big fat qualifier on this, that I believe that Elon Musk wants what is best for the planet, at least from what I can see. I don't know the man. I am sure he has an endless list of personal problems, as we all do, but he seems like one of these guys who wants to move humanity forward. And with his purchase of Twitter, which is now called X, he purchased a large social media company, in case you don't know what that is. That has done more to give people a voice. It was previously a highly censored platform by the communists. Now it's a place where you can speak and I can speak. I used to get suspended every other day at Twitter because I was always saying something deemed wrong think. That's huge. That's enormous what he did. But he is also one of these billionaire types who genuinely, I believe, wants what is good. But he says things like this. And, well, here it was.
If you have billions of humanoid robots, and I think there will be.
In case you can't understand me, he could be hard to hear sometimes. If you have billions of humanoid robots, is what he said. He's a huge robot guy for reasons I'll get into in a moment.
If you have billions of humanoid robots, and I think there will be, I think everyone on Earth is going to have one and going to want one. Because who wouldn't want a robot to, you know, assuming it's very safe, watch over your kids, take care of your pet. If you have elderly parents, a lot of friends of mine said they have elderly parents. It's very difficult to take care of them.
Expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive, and there just aren't enough people to take care of there aren't enough young people to take care of the old people.
Right.
I mean, overall, I'm very optimistic about the future. I think we're headed for a future of amazing abundance, which is very cool, and definitely. We are in the most interesting time in history.
Okay, now I don't have anything specific that I hate about what he just said. I mean, shoot, who wouldn't want a robot to feed the dog? For whenever the boys forget, who wouldn't want a robot to feed the dog, right? It's not that. And you know why Elon is so obsessed with robots, right? It's not just a technological thing. Speaking of guys who want to, you know, stamp their face on Mount Rushmore, Elon Musk wants to colonize Mars. Well, you can't live on the surface of Mars. The weather's too bad. If that ever happens, human beings will have to live underground in Mars. So who's going to build everything you need for human beings to live underground in Mars? It's going to have to be an army of robots you send to Mars to build the whole thing. That's the whole robot fascination. But we'll set that aside for a moment. Specifically, that sounds fine, right? Hey, I want someone. I mean, I have a mom. She's getting older. She's in great health. Don't worry about mom. But what if I have to go to work? What if Ob is gone? Someone to care for mom. Sounds good. Right? But I reject the movement of humanity into being one that is run by robots, where jobs are done by robots, where caring for your parents or your dog is done by robots. I know there will always be some of that as we move forward. I am a huge believer, and I'm not even sure if I can put this into words. I am a huge believer in humans running the world. I believe that God gave the world to us, as is very clearly laid out in the book of Genesis. God gave the earth to humans to have dominion over the earth. It is ours, for better or for worse. And I know all the bad things humans can do to other human beings. We talk about these dark stories all the time. I know. But, well, here's a headline. This is the kind of headline that gives me some hope. Majority of CEOs are not seeing a financial benefit from AI deployment. You have these CEOs of companies, and they've decided they're going to start firing employees, and they're going to replace these employees with artificial intelligence. Because, of course, it's going to be financially beneficial, right? I mean, if we didn't have to pay Chris, and we didn't have to pay Corey, and we could just get AI and a robot to sit in there and press the buttons, that would make the show better, right? Certainly make the bottom line better. Well, who am I going to joke with? Would that make your experience listening to the Jesse Kelly Show, would it make it better if I didn't have someone to bounce ideas off of? If it was a robot, yes, Mr. Kelly, that sounds good. I think human beings are going to reject the... Is it called automation, Chris? You know I'm not technologically... The automation of everything? I think it's horrible. I reject it. And I don't like it at all. I believe human beings are going to reject it. Now, the question is, the reason I brought this up, because we're going to move on to Jack Smith. It's kind of a weird topic anyway. But the reason I brought this up is, how many powerful people, including governments, are highly, highly invested in making AI and robots everywhere a thing? A lot of them. I that's not a guess. I know that. I told you about that meeting that I learned about from someone who attended it, a meeting with every Tom, Dick, and Harry billionaire you can imagine, CEO of this and CEO of that. I'll put it to you this way. One guy I was talking to who was there, he actually said to me, I'm not even sure why we got invited. Our company's only worth $10 billion. He said that to me. He felt out of place because their company was only worth $10 billion. So it was one of those kind of meetings. And all these big shots were all in on AI this and robotics that. How are they going to take it if we say no? How are they going to respond if we say no? I think about that. I worry about that. Jesse, something special is coming. What is it? Oh, this is about the JesseKelly.com thing. Well, lady, I can't say her name. She didn't say I could. I'm not at liberty to say yet. I'm not trying to be a politician. I'm not at liberty to say yet. Hey, Chris, do we have a time frame on that so I can stop dancing around the whole thing? You don't know either? Could you find out when we can just say what it is? I believe they're finishing it right now. I've already done my part. They're finishing it right now, getting it ready to send to you. JesseKelly.com. Look, if it's a disappointment, I have great news for you. You don't even have to send it back. It's not going to cost you a dime. You can just dump it immediately if you don't like it. I am not selling you anything at all. The only thing I'm asking is your email address. That's it. Put in your email address because that's the only way I can get it to you. What, Chris? What website? I just gave out the website. How many times? Okay. JesseKelly.com. Chris, is that enough times? JesseKelly.com. There you go. There's the website. Hey, Jesse. The reason why Barack Obama wanted to destroy the U.S. is because he's miserable with his wife. You know what they say about misery and company? Misery loves company. Therefore, he wants to make everyone as miserable as he is. Okay, so, all right, well, let's touch on this before we get to Jack Smith, because Michelle Obama's out there selling a book. Therefore, she's doing the podcast tour thing, which I've done. You go on as many shows as possible and you tell people, well, I'm super smart, buy my book, you're going to love it. That's how you drive up book sales. Totally get that. It's a capitalist society, all in favor of it. So she's doing the podcast tour, but She's Michelle Obama, and she's horrible. And every time she gets up to speak at one of these events, she says something that reveals that she's just a miserable human being and sounds like somebody that would just be awful to be married to. And this guy says, well, that's Barack Obama wants to destroy the country. And he wants to destroy the country because of Michelle Obama. Not quite. I'll explain next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, before we get to the Jack Smith thing, I'll address this email. The guy said Obama wanted to destroy America. It's because he's miserable with his wife. And not quite. You see, Barack Obama, remember, was taught that America sucks. He was educated in that. Look up Frank Marshall Davis, a very committed America-hating communist. Frank Marshall Davis, in a lot of ways, guided Barack Obama. The influences in Barack Obama's life were all America-hating communist savages. And the thing about life, in fact, the thing about your wife or husband is you will oftentimes find them in the circles you run. I know that's an obvious point, but that's usually where you find your spouse. If you find your spouse, you go to school with them. You're in the same church. You're in the same gun club. You play softball. You're in the same hiking group. And in those circles, what kind of woman is going to run in those circles? What kind? What kind of woman? If you know accurately that Barack Obama, way back in the day when he was coming up, was an America-hating communist savage and ran with other America-hating communist savages, well, do you think you're going to find a pleasant, loving, supportive woman in a group like that? Have you met a Democrat woman? You're not going to find a pleasant, loving woman in a group like that. And this provides a valuable lesson for everybody. Be very, very careful who you marry. I played this one last night. I just can't get over how she references herself in such a disparaging way as, they just started to know me as Barack Obama's wife.
I was a dean of students. I was like, oh, you guys, all of that just disappeared in the course of this whole election. And you now see me as just Barack Obama's wife.
Wow. But there's more. She didn't become this. This is who she's always been. Fellas, if you're dating a woman who speaks like this, I know she's hot. I know. She probably even laughs at your jokes. Got some pretty red lipstick on tonight. Buddy, drop her off at home and go find someone
else. Let's be more honest about the struggle. I try to do that, you know. And I am constantly telling young mothers, like, it's coming. Right. You don't have to get off your career track. And I don't even recommend it because kids grow up fast. And I tell people, look, I had to get off a track and take pay cuts and come back, sacrifice because my husband was president. You know,
yeah.
And then, you know, that was kind of a, yeah. You know, so but in the midst of that, I still managed to be a lawyer, run a nonprofit. I can run down.
Imagine speaking that way about your children, about the decision to have children. Just the same way she spoke about marrying Obama. I just was known as Obama, as Barack's wife. My kids, I had to give up so much. Man, I could have made so much more money if not for those frigging kids. Learn to sniff that out early in your dating cycle and learn to avoid it like the Black Plague, because that's exactly what it will mean for your life. A freaking plague every day, all day. I love that that happened to Obama. I love that this happened to Jack Smith today.
In other words, you're using a novel legal theory, which you knew was novel, has never been tested by any court. You're not charging any of these members. Nobody's going to know about it because you issued NDOs. Nobody's going to sue about it, so sue this. So who cares? We're going to do it anyways. I mean, you walked all over the Constitution throughout this entire process.
Mr. Chairman, the gentleman's time's expired.
Spying on members of Congress, and you know it. It's absolutely disgraceful.
I love that Jack Smith had to sit there and take it. And I love this line of questioning from Jim Jordan, because remember, I think the final toll was $50 million on this bogus investigation that was designed to sweep up Trump and every other Republican in his orbit. Where'd that money go?
Who's the source?
I do not know the identity of the source.
How many other payments went to this source or other sources?
As I sit here, I do not know the answer to that question. My role as special counsel...
$35 million and you're giving money to people the country doesn't know who they are, and you're giving their hard-earned money to these folks? The main question I have, too, with this is, why'd you have to do it? You subpoenaed bank records from the RNC, phone records from members of Congress. You got subpoenas for bank records for people sitting right there in the front row. Why did you have to pay people for information when you could subpoena them and get it?
Headline. Just in case you forgot how evil the government was under Joe Biden, Biden's FBI paid anti-Trump sedition hunters as informants in January 6th, Arctic Frost probes, memos show. The United States government stole your tax money and wrote large checks to have people hunt you down on the internet. And remember that that is but a preview of what these people will do if they ever come back to power again, because the only lesson they learned from that entire thing was they didn't take it far enough. If they'd just gone further, then we'd never have Trump back in office. That's the only lesson they learned. All right, we'll do some emails, talk about lemon pepper wings and this Fauci stuff before we get to that. Let's talk about putting our money where our morals are. You were angry. I was angry the day we watched Black Lives Matter storm into a church service in St. Paul, Minnesota, and disrupt it. But that group that did that had a name. That name was Black Lives Matter. So, pick up your phone. I know you're on it right now anyway. Don't lie. Pick up your phone, and I want you to look up, just put this in an internet search. Your mobile company, Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile, and Black Lives Matter. You happy where your money goes? Feels a little yucky knowing you pay for it, doesn't it? I've been there. I've had all three of them. Now, you think it's worth 10 minutes of your time to switch to Pure Talk? Speaking to a pleasant American on the phone. They'll make it easy. You don't need a new phone, although they have those if you want them. You don't need a new number. You'll speak to a pleasant American who's happy to help you, and you'll be switched over and stop funding this stuff. Dial #250 and say save now. That'll save you an additional 50%. #250, save now. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And before we get to the Fauci stuff, I have a couple other items I need to address. So let's just tackle them right now. All right. I'm going to do Fauci stuff and some emails, but I have to address a couple things. First thing, the weather. I understand, and I'm sure you understand, that there is a big old cold front coming for the United States of America. Here in Texas, it hits Saturday and Sunday. Okay. Icy conditions. Okay. I got that. 2 days where it will drop below freezing here in Texas. I understand. Now, just to recap, in case you don't remember, I grew up in Montana. In Montana, life just went on whenever there was a terrible snowstorm. Now, don't yell at the radio. I'm going to explain. I know the reasons why. Just hang with me for a moment. But in Ohio, where I was born, If you woke up and there was even a light snow coming down, you ran down to the television. This was pre-internet. You ran down to the television and turned on the local news because there would be a ticker down at the bottom of the screen that would say which schools were closing. And like any red-blooded American male, I was hoping school would be shut down so I could go screw off with my friends and have snowball fights, right? And if there was snow on the ground, enough fell that it was patching up on the ground, they would cancel school, or at least delay school. Great day. We moved to Montana when I'm 10 years old. They never canceled. And I mean never canceled. I went to school on the school bus. It was negative 20, I think. I'm talking about with the wind chill. I think it was negative 20 to negative 30. The snow drifts were equal to the window on the bus, meaning they've plowed it, it's drifting. Over 5 feet, snow drifts. You went to school. Not only did we go to school, recess was outdoors. It was the fifth grade when I moved there. I moved there halfway through the school year. I at least thought when we got to school that, well, we're going to stay inside for recess, right? Nope. Here's a football. Have fun. This is Montana. I understand that in Montana, the people are better prepared for weather like that because it's all the time. It's 6 months a year, at least. And more importantly for our discussion here, I understand that Montana's infrastructure is built to withstand cold like that, meaning you're not generally, although it does happen, you're not generally going to lose power because they understand you have to bury things deeper up there because of the cold. So I got all that. But places like Montana, cold places, life just goes on. When winter gets here, when a snowstorm, ice, life just goes on. Now, I live in Texas. And some of it I find just funny. Most of it I find kind of funny. But some of it I find a little bit baffling how people in southern states, society itself shuts down when there's a one-day freeze, a two-day freeze. Ab went to the grocery store today and she said, the shelves are empty. I don't even understand what is going on. Now, this is where, if you're living in the South, I know you're already yelling at me, but we're going to lose power. We can't deal with the freeze. But this is my point. I'm not actually making fun of you personally. This is my point. I've lived in Houston now for 10 years. How long have I lived here? Probably 10 years. Probably a decade I've lived in Houston. We get a freeze, a fairly significant freeze, about every year. Maybe every other year. How are the governments in Texas, in all the South, this is not just Texas, how are you not at all prepared for a freeze? Because when the freeze gets here, Saturday, Sunday, whenever it gets here, whether you're in Alabama or Texas or Florida or Tennessee or wherever it is, don't tell me that you've never experienced it before, because you have, as a matter of fact. It's every year. Now, it's not Montana for 6 months at a time, but you can only play the, we had no idea this was coming, about once. Maybe after year two or three, you have to assume at some point in time, maybe some snow plows. Okay, if not snow plows, I got it. Perhaps some trucks. You don't even need a bunch of them. Some trucks with salt in the back. Drive along the roads like we do in Montana. Sprinkle the salt on the roads, melts off the ice, everybody can function. It's every year. You get a freeze every year. How are the governments not prepared still? Every year, I have to hear the same thing from these southern governments about how shocked they are, and yet every year there's a freeze. Now, that's the governments. You individually, you have no excuse. None. Buy a coat. You know, they're not superhuman up in Montana. I swear they're not. They're just normal people like you. But they have coats. I remember I was selling RVs. This was up in the Dallas area. And we got this terrible freeze. Everything was iced over. And of course, the government couldn't figure out how to de-ice the roads. Wow, this never happens, even though it happens every year. But I, of course, got in my pickup, put it in four-wheel drive, and I drove to work, as you do, even in the ice. And I got there, and everything was frozen over. And the guys who didn't call in sick, every time they had to go outside on the RV lot, they were freezing all day because they were all wearing jackets of some kind. I was totally comfortable. Do you know why? It's not because I'm tough. I had a coat on. And it's a new invention, so maybe you haven't been introduced to it yet. I had a hat. And no, these are out there. And I don't know if they're available in your area, but I swear these are out there. I also had gloves. I had a coat, a hat, and gloves. And when I was getting ready to leave the warm RV shop and go outside, I actually picked up those articles of clothing and I put them on. And then I walked outside and I was warm because I was wearing the clothes that were appropriate. And this goes right back to what I just said about the governments. But it never happens here. It happens every year, or at least every other year. It certainly happens often enough to justify going down to Goodwill or Walmart. You don't got to get something fancy. Go down to Costco and get a $30 winter coat. It doesn't have to be nice. It just has to be thick. Kind of like if you're looking for a girlfriend in the Army. You understand? What, Chris? You understand? All right, Chris, what were you trying to say? Born and bred Texan. What is it, Chris? What? Chris said they called in sick because it was cold. Oh, almost all of them did. Almost all of them. And I was a sales manager at the time. I remember walking in and just being mortified that there were like three of us in the whole shop. Everyone else, well, I can't come in. I can't come in. Why can't you come in? Well, there's ice. Well, drive slower. You just drive slower on the ice. You can't stop as fast. You can't accelerate as fast. You have to be very gentle, but it's not some elite set of skills. You just move slower and do everything slower. And don't forget this critical piece of information. Put on a coat. You'll be fine. It'll be 29 degrees here in Houston on Saturday or Sunday. And if I have to go outside, I'm not going to die. You know why? I'll have a coat on. Amazing invention. Highly recommend it. All right, I'll try to get to Fauci. I have a couple other things. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And before I move on to Fauci and some other things, I just have to put one more exclamation point on this. Chris asked during the break, you're selling RVs, there's a big winter storm, it's iced over. No one's going to come out and buy, right? Well, we're about to get a big national freeze. And maybe you're already planning on calling the boss and telling him, I can't make it. There's ice on the ground. Maybe that's what you're thinking about doing. Okay. All right. Do it. And if you don't feel like you can safely drive on the ice, obviously don't take chances with your personal safety. That's your business. I just told Jewish producer Chris what I'm about to tell you. The biggest, most profitable RV sale I ever made in my life was on that exact day I just told you about, where it was iced over and nobody else came in. Little old lady drives on the lot with her daughter. I practically had to carry her around the RV lot so she wouldn't fall on the ice. Adorable, mean as all get out, chain-smoked cigarettes. We got along famously. I adore her. And she found the biggest, most expensive RV on the lot, had more money than she knew what to do with, and said, I'll take it. While everyone else sat at home in their pajamas, it's too cold out. I was cashing checks. Again, do what you do. I know there's a freeze coming, but Might not hurt if the boss sees you put your car in drive and drive to work, even with the mittens on. Now that I got everybody mad, I know you're mad. I know I'm going to get all these emails and stuff like that, and that's totally fine. I don't care. I'm going to talk really quickly, just briefly, about COVID. I know that almost sounds weird. COVID? Why are we talking about COVID? Why would we even bring this up? Well, do you remember how they told us over and over and over and over again that vaccine was safe and effective? They told us over and over and over and over again that natural immunity wasn't really a thing. Because we had been taught our whole lives. I know you've been taught your whole life, because I was taught my whole life. We were taught that, well, when your body gets sick, your body develops antibodies. Your body basically fights it off by developing what it needs to fight it off. And then if it encounters that again, it'll be able to withstand it because it already has the things it needs to fight it off. I know that's speaking in very layperson terms, but I'm an idiot, so that's how I'm describing it. I was taught about this my whole life. You were taught about it your whole life, because that's how the human body works. That's how God made these magnificent bodies of ours. And then we had these really smart-sounding doctors on TV after COVID came out that dismissed it. It was almost odd, wasn't it? How quickly they dismissed the idea of natural immunity. And those exact same doctors, in the next breath, were all over the TV every minute of every day trying to sell you the new, quote, vaccine. No, there's no natural immunity. No, you don't have a chance. Anyway, have you gotten your Pfizer shot yet? Hey, Johnson & Johnson, have you gotten your booster shot yet? You need 15 boosters. It's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. You won't spread it. Okay, you might spread it, but you'll only spread it a little. All right, you'll spread it as much as anybody, but you won't get as sick. All right, you'll get sick, but maybe not as sick. You understand. You remember all the lies. Headline. This is from Just the News. Emails show Fauci and Collins, that would be Francis Collins, Fauci and Collins plotting to circumvent impressive data for COVID natural immunity. The men who went to the television set every minute of every day. I remember Dr. Fauci got a featured spot at the beginning of the Super Bowl to address the United States of America. The men who were on TV every minute of every day selling you a vaccine, those men knowingly lied to the American people about the effectiveness of natural immunity. They knew. They had the data in their hands, and they knew that your body would develop an immunity as it was exposed to coronavirus, which was real. It was a real virus. As your body was exposed to it, your body would learn how to fight it off, and that natural immunity would keep you and then those around you safe. Because if you're immune and you don't get it, then you can't spread it. You understand, that's just how basic viruses work. But it's not just me who knows that and you who knows that. Dr. Fauci knew that. And Dr. Fauci lied about that. Now, maybe you're thinking this is old news, and maybe it is to you. You know who it's not old news to? Every single person listening to the sound of my voice who didn't get to say goodbye to their mother in person as she died in the hospital. Every young person listening to the sound of my voice who was robbed of a sports year, a high school graduation. Every single person listening to the sound of my voice maybe lost their job, lost their family business. I know we have many listening to this show who did, because you emailed me at the time. They still want a scalp for all that, and I understand it completely, and they deserve a scalp for all that. The people who led this country astray were not confused. It's not that they didn't know what was going on. They knew exactly what was going on, and they lied. people have to go to prison. There has to be a reckoning for the people of the United States of America. People have to go to prison for crimes against humanity like this. You can't have a critical position of power and lie to the people about what you know. You just cannot, it cannot be allowed in a society, or you don't have a society anymore. All right, we'll move on. Talk about something else here. I have to talk about something that just happened in the bathroom. And poor Greenland. Next.